Welcome to Happily Family. I'm Cecilia
And I'm
Hilke,
Jason Hilke.
and we are delighted today to have Lainey Burkett with us. Lainey is a mother of four, professional counselor, and yoga, psychology, and meditation teacher. She is passionate about helping individuals and families improve emotional regulation, balance their energy, and cultivate calm and connection through somatic skills, breathwork, yoga, meditation, and counseling. With 20 years of experience, Lainey guides people toward healing, emotional resilience, self-compassion, and connection by helping them regulate their nervous system, rewire trauma responses, and create balance. Welcome, Lainey. It's great to have
Thanks for
you.
being here, Lainey.
Yay, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks
Yeah,
for the warm welcome.
look forward to talking to you.
So I wanted to first ask you about somatic therapy because that's something that might not be a familiar term to folks in the audience.
Sure. Yeah, so somatic is the body. And so the work that I do centers around really diving into the body itself. And our nervous system is the foundation of how we experience stress and how we experience calm. So when we're talking about that somatic regulation piece of the body, we're using the body to support our nervous system balance and the emotional regulation, which when we're in that sympathetic activation, that's like the fight, flight, or freeze where we feel anxious, we might feel tense, irritable, overwhelmed. That's that like shutdown mode, and that's the body's way of protecting itself, which is completely normal. So when that shows up in our kids, that's like it might be a parent who feels dysregulated after helping with homework. It might be a family dinner where everyone's kind of dysregulated and it's not flowing. You know, those days where like it's just not gelling, everyone's talking over each other, interrupting. Or it might be a child who's struggling at bedtime. The parent gets upset, the child's upset. So that's kind of that like sympathetic activation. The parasympathetic activation is our rest and digest. And that's when our body feels grounded. Our heart rate stabilizes, our breath is relaxed, and we're really able to connect wholeheartedly with other people. And so the work that I do centers around the body and really diving into the breath, mindfulness, connecting with the body, movement, and healing in that way. And it's just beautiful because then it ripples out. So when there's an anchored parent and like really regulated parent, there's a regulated child and then regulated family. So it just kind of like flows so smoothly.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you because we're hearing, I think, more and more from parents who are more dysregulated than they are regulated because of it, modern life and all the stresses on families and kids and parents.
An adult.
And I think that's why work like yours is so important because first off, we can get some awareness, and then we can also change how we are relating to the circumstances. Is that what you do?
Yes, exactly. So I really try to meet people where they're at and assess what are their needs, what's going on, and then offer them skills that they can use in everyday life, that they can weave into their normal days. My chapter, Cultivating Calm, really focuses on that. It talks about weaving them into what you're already doing. So it doesn't feel like we're bringing something new in, a new approach, or we're trying to like pivot and do something different, because that wouldn't feel natural. So instead, I really try to help people meet them exactly where they're at and offer little bite-sized pieces of somatic skills that they can just integrate into their daily lives. So it might be before dinner, you know, a breath that they're doing together, meditating for a few minutes before bed, some movement or some shaking to like a favorite song. Like those types of pieces where we weave that in brings everyone into that regulated state where we feel more connected. Like our hearts are in it then, and we're really able to have those wholehearted good connections that we want with our families and we all desire.
So I think you just started talking about the question that I had, which was, why would I want that? I mean, like I get like I want to be connected, right? But I also recognize like, yeah, I want to not be dysregulated, but what does that give me access to as a parent? That's what we're here talking about. Obviously, there's a lot that it could give to us as an adult or as a person, but could you talk a little bit about like what does that give someone access to or gives them the ability to do as a parent and being connected and being regulated?
So describing like how busy our culture is, it's not stopping, right? And so just take, for example, like back to school and like the last, summer, anytime holidays, there's always going to be something, right? That's raising everything up. We're feeling that hustle. We're feeling the rush. We're feeling the pressure. If you're working or not working, if you have kids in school or don't, there's always something going on. And so when we're able to regulate ourselves, we're able to slow down into presence. And what I mean by that is you get to slow down and be present with your children. You get to slow down and be present with yourself. And that is a gift that only you can give yourself. And so you guys, as busy parents, you deserve that time to be able to slow down and to be able to connect within yourself and have a moment of peace where you feel calm, and then to give that to your children. So there's definitely physical benefits, lower heart rate, low blood pressure, less disease. Like there's lots of physical benefits, emotional benefits. Your anxiety level is lower. You're able to bounce back from difficult conflict. When there is conflict, you're able to regulate your body quicker. I can notice, oh, there's a conflict there. I can take a deep breath. I can give myself an affirmation. I can maybe brush it off or shake it off, and then I'm calmer. So then I can meet my children with that as well and role model that for them. And then they're learning those skills as well. So it has a bunch of benefits in our nervous system. When we're like at this like beautiful calm, that's lovely. 'Cause conflict, day-to-day things, it's gonna go up and down. That's gonna happen. But when we have the ability to just regulate and find this nice, beautiful homeostasis, that's that sweet spot. And we get to control that. So those are a few of the benefits.
There's a few things you said that I really liked, which was it's something we have control over, right? It's something that we can actually do. We can't control our kids. We can't control things in the environment. We can control this. This is something that we can actually have some kind of agency over. And also the idea of it being something that gives like a nice role modeling for our kids. Clearly, if we're more centered and more grounded and more regulated, we can be a better parent, and it slows everything down. But I think the role modeling piece that you said there is such an important piece that sometimes it's hard to teach the kids what we would like for them to learn or see at any age. But the role modeling for them is so powerful.
Yeah, and they match our energy. You know that like frenetic energy that you feel sometimes, like I have to do this, 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 and this, and I have to take this kid here. Like they feel that and they match that. And so when we're coming in like calm and regulated and we're in a better space, they're definitely going to match that, which think of how that affects the whole household. It really does. So,
I wanted to, I know that you are going to lead us through a practice. So I'm excited about that. And I also wanted to address a concern that parents might have who might be listening to this and they think, oh, well, but if I try to do that kind of stuff with my kid, they won't do it. And I'm actually thinking of
Or they don't even have time to do it,
they may not have
as a
time.
parent or as the kid.
A friend of ours was trying to do some breathing with his toddler when he was like sitting in the front of the little boy sitting in front of the grocery cart, and they were going through the grocery store, and the dad's like, okay, we're just gonna ohm, let's ohm, and the little toddler's like, no, daddy, no ohm. Anyway, so what do you do when a kid resists? Maybe it's a toddler, maybe it's a teen that's like, mom, dad, you guys are super weird. Roll my eyes and whatever.
I
How
have
do
had
you,
all of those stages, so I hear you because my four kids, they're 7 to 13, so I'm living all those stages and I have lived all those stages. It's the role modeling. It really goes back to the role modeling. So my kids see me meditate, they see me practice, they see me doing the breath work, they see me talking about it. I regularly say, I feel frustrated right now and I'm going to take a deep breath and then I'm going to just release some of that tension. So I'm modeling it regularly for them, and that's what I really coach and work with parents on, is bringing it into the home, starting with you, and then it ripples out. I caught one of my daughters the other day, and she's just got her legs up the wall and she's doing a little meditation and she's just like enjoying it. It wasn't always like that. And so it does just take a little bit of time, and then practicing with them. So like engaging them and doing that in fun ways and bringing them into it with you. Like the shaking is dancing. It's just like dancing around and shaking and putting on a song that they like. you're engaging with them. And so toddlers just love that. And so I love that he was trying really hard, but no ohm, but just like integrating in those little ways is so valuable. And doing it during regular activities. Okay, I'm making dinner. Let's all pause and like take a deep breath. Let's have a quick dance break. Like it isn't, once you start doing it, it becomes really natural. And then your language will follow it and help them too. So yeah.
As you were saying all that, I had this immediate reaction of like, yeah, I don't do the dance party thing. I just don't. Cecilia does. I don't do the dance party thing. And I also like the meditation stuff. I like my meditation. It's my time. It's like the thing for me. I don't want to be doing meditation with my kids. Like
You
I
want to share
that's kind of
it?
it's kind of like honestly, like if I had it to do over again, I wish I could have like cooked more with our kids. We did it in the classroom all the time, but like cooking for me was like my time. And I didn't cook with our kids a lot. I wish I would have more maybe or figured it all out. We did cook around them. They did cook, but it was like kind of my time, just like the meditation's kind of my time. And then I don't do the dance party thing. So, what I kind of heard in what you were saying, though, is to find what works for you, to find like what is it for you that allows for you to have that. Could you just say a little bit more about that for people like me who don't dance and are selfish and want to have their own meditation time?
You can wiggle and shake.
Yeah, you can't. It's not that I can't. I just don't want to. Like,
Is it not dignified enough?
I'm a big fan of playful parenting. That's not playful. That's just painful. That's painful parenting for me. I just don't like it. So,
But I think then, so you, for you, then you would find what works for you. So maybe you do your morning meditation and that's your time and that's your thing. You have that time, but then you're just modeling a little bit of it in movement. So like say you're driving everyone to school and you can tell that everyone's kind of like anxious or like, a little bit higher, raising up a little bit more tense or like constriction, then you just bring it in. Let's all just take five slow, deep breaths and just like enjoy some silence. Like you're just modeling it for them. So then you get an extra 2 minutes of your own meditation, but you're still doing it with them. You're not missing out on what is valuable to you as well. So it's just really an integration of that works for you. And so you really value meditation and you value that alone time, but they see you doing it. You're modeling it because you're talking about it and you're saying, this works for me. This is what something I do by myself every day. But when you integrate it just in little teeny pieces like that, they're going to see that and they're going to sense it. And then they'll hopefully develop their meditation practice the way that they want to, which might be moving meditation. It might be combined with running, yoga. It might be a sit down. It might be a guided. They get to decide that then, and you're modeling it. So I think just integrating it in little different ways like that. And then noticing your own resistance too to like joining with them a little bit, and just being gently curious about that. Like, okay, I like this style and don't like this style, and that's okay. So
that's great. I like that. I
yeah.
have to be a little adventurous also. I could like try out their style.
Yeah, and I want to name a couple of things. One of the things that happens for me when I'm meditating is that I'll have my headphones on. If my kids walk into the room, I actually feel a little embarrassed. So I
Oh,
just
okay.
want to name that might be a reaction that people have. And then there was a second thing that I have forgotten, but I will remember it during the course of our conversation, and I'll bring it up again.
And I think I'm glad that you named that, and that is a normal response. And I think that the more you bring in some of these practices and you do it more regularly and they see you doing it, or you catch them kind of doing it a little bit on their own and they feel the benefits. So that's the key too, because you feel the benefit of your meditation. And then when they start to feel it and they notice it at any age, they're motivated, they're bought in, because they know that it helps them. And when it's done consistently over time, that's where families really start to feel the regulation. When you're regularly bringing it in and you're incorporating little pieces here and there, that consistency, everything shifts, and then they're going to feel motivated to do it. They're going to want to do it. So that's a piece too that will come with time.
The second thing, thank you, that gave me time to think of it, is you said something like, well, of course you talk to your kids about it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't. I don't explicitly talk to my kids about my own practices. And I could do that more, talking about what I did, how it worked. Let's do it together. So yeah, I just wanted to say like that's helpful to kind of share with them a little bit more of what is happening in my inner life, because they might not actually be around that much, especially if I do something in the early morning when they're asleep still. But
And
yeah, sharing
naming it. Yeah, like naming it, like
that.
just to name, this helps my body, this helps my mind, this helps my emotions, because, and just like naming why it helps, whether it's science, like I love to blend the science, the psychology, and the mindfulness piece of all of this, because it really all intertwines, and that's that mind-body connection. And then when we can teach that and put words to it, because they don't have the language, especially young kids, they don't have the language yet. So then if we can help describe that to them, like to me, it just really helps like the whole community, like thinking about schools and all of the people that are then doing this more, it really just creates this beautiful world. So yeah, just bringing it in and saying like, in my meditation this morning, I noticed this. I was trying to make a decision and I felt myself kind of like questioning this, and I noticed my body leaning forward. So that's a yes for me. I love to do that meditation with my kids. Like, if you're trying to make a decision, let's just pause, think about it, notice what's happening in your body, and then where's your body moving? What are you feeling in your body? And that helps them to make these decisions. It's so helpful with consent. It's so helpful with, regular every day-to-day decisions. So just bringing it into language, giving them phrases and explanations.
I like that. I like that. It's having me think back to like a lot of what we did and seeing how it all has played out over the years now. Like I remember when Sierra went and she went to like a singing bowl meditation, and I'm like, yeah, bring one of those things back. Wouldn't that be awesome? Let's have a singing bowl around the house. I would enjoy that. You had mentioned that you have some practices that you were going to walk us through a little bit. You have some bite-sized practices, which I first of all, I like that this isn't like some big behemoth thing that we have to take on when we're actually looking at how to implement this. So I do like the idea of it being bite-sized, being like something that's easy for us to go through. I was wondering if you'd like to show us that or talk a little bit about that.
Yes. And before we go into that, there's one more thing that I wanted to talk about real quick, especially with teens. And sometimes this is the reaction I get from my own children or my own family members, that when I come in with a great idea of like, oh, this will be so fun, let's all do this together, their reaction is kind of like, Mom, you're trying to fix me. I'm not broken, or whatever. What can parents do if they get that reaction?
Besides the role modeling piece of it, then.
Yeah, if I'm trying to do something with them, trying to do it together, and they're just not into it.
Yeah, I think really reminding them that these are lifelong skills. So it's not like a one and done, like I'm presenting this to you and I'm teaching you this and then you're good. And it's not because they're broken. It's because this is a lifelong skill, just like communication, teaching them I statements, and emotional regulation. I love using emotion wheels and teaching them, everyone I work with, like how just to really flesh that out, because they are not learning it. They're not learning it necessarily in the mainstream ways that maybe we would like them to, and we may not have learned it as kids. So we might be learning parallel with them in some cases, and some parents might be experiencing that, and that's perfectly okay. So I think just helping them to really have that openness and that ability to know this is going to help me for my life. And then when they feel it, again, that's that benefit of I feel better. Like I know, okay, I had a bad situation at a sports event. I didn't perform the way I wanted to. And I'm going to do this to bounce back. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to give myself an affirmation, and I'm going to do a movement of some sort. They know that. And then all of a sudden, it's like they feel better. And they can process through those difficult experiences quicker. That's that lifelong experience that they're gonna have forever, because this helps your nervous system, your physical health, your emotional health. Like it just regulates everything. So I think it's really pointing out they're not broken. There's nothing wrong with them. I wish all humans knew this information, and like all humans practice this. And I know I'm biased because I'm so passionate about this work, but I wish that they were taught this in like preschool. And then I wish that, I work with some older people too, and I have this sweet 85-year-old woman, and she's like, no one taught me to breathe. And I've had such horrible anxiety literally for decades of her life until I taught her to breathe properly and to like help herself calm down. Her anxiety has gone mostly away. And so I think like just acknowledging this is lifelong, all of it. And so, yeah.
That's
I love that.
great.
Okay. Let's dive into the practice.
Yeah, awesome. So I like to do real simple, keep it real simple. I like to breathe. and then move a little bit, and then I call it heal. And that heal is that connection to yourself. And the reason that I came up with this nice system is because I combined my history and my training as a counselor, as a professional counselor, a yoga teacher, a meditation teacher. I love just like the science behind this and why it works. And then I also love the psychology behind it. So just combining all of that and keeping it simple, like you said, Jason, like bite-sized, simple. You can do these kinds of things anytime that you start to notice yourself not feeling the best or feeling a little dysregulated. So let's just start by rooting your feet into the earth, and I'll be seated. You guys are standing, and you can do these practices anyway, but just feel the earth beneath your feet and just notice. Just start by noticing how you feel in this moment. You might notice a physical sensation. You might notice an emotional sensation. You might notice a thought. Anything is welcome. And then just take a nice deep breath in through the nose and give an audible exhale. Just arrive in this moment. Soften the shoulders, unclench your jaw, and just let your hands rest. Take a slow inhale through the nose. Inhale one, two, three, four. Exhale one, two, three, four. Again, inhale one, two, three, four. Exhale one, two, three, four. Inhale one, two, three, four. Exhale one, two, three, four. Keep breathing nice and slow. And if you can, take that inhale and see if you can drop that breath down into your belly. Feel free to put a hand there if that calls to you. And just see if you can deepen those inhales. And then just relax as you exhale. And just notice how this feels to you to take this slow, intentional breath. And as you breathe, we'll just notice how our body feels, gently scanning from toes all the way up to the crown of the head. Notice any areas of heaviness or tension or tightness. Notice any areas that feel warm or relaxed. Take that deep breath, float it all the way down to your feet, drawing awareness. Notice your feet, your lower legs, up into your hips, your belly. Let your breath flow up and down your spine, just drawing awareness to your back. Notice your chest as you breathe into your chest. Just notice how your lungs, your chest, and your heart feel. Float up into the shoulders and the arms. Relax the shoulders as you do so. Soften the arms. Float up into the neck, into the face, softening the jaw, the cheeks, the eyes, and then float up to the crown of the head. Take an inhale now. Float that breath all the way down to the feet. Collect any tension that you noticed, any tightness. And as you exhale, slowly release it out of your mouth. And now just check in. Notice how your body feels. There's no right answer, just awareness. And notice if it's changed at all from when you began the breath practice. Good. And then gently open the eyes. And if you are seated, go ahead and rise to a standing position. Come up to standing and inhale, lift the shoulders up towards the ears. And then exhale, release them down, nice and soft. Inhale, lift them up again. And now this time, try dropping them heavy. Good. Now you choose this time. Inhale, float the shoulders up, and you get to choose dropping them heavy or soft, whichever calls to you. Listen and trust your body. Do one more and release. Just Just notice how that feels. You're letting go of tension in your shoulders. Now we're going to lift up onto our toes and then drop down onto the heels. Good. Inhale, lift up. And then exhale, drop down. And you can experiment with this too. Inhaling up, you can drop down soft or you can drop down harder. You get to choose whichever feels best to your body. You're learning to trust and listen to your body. And notice how that feels to you. Good. Do one more. Good. Now just keep your feet on the ground. Feel the anchored beneath you into the earth. And we're just going to sweep our arms up, out to the sides, expand the chest, reach up above. Deep breath in. And then we're just going to exhale and slowly release. Bending at the knees, hinging at the hips, releasing down, letting your head hang heavy, and just kind of floating into a little gentle forward bend. And then slowly roll up, inhaling one vertebra at a time. And let's do that same thing again. Your arms can sweep up in front of you if you desire, or you can bring them out to the sides. Again, you choose. Inhale all the way to the top, and then exhale, gently float down, just releasing any tension as you do so. Inhale, float up. Think of collecting anything from your morning, your day, your week, your month, your year that you're just ready to let go of. And then as you exhale, give a big sigh and release it. Good. Let's do one more. Just let that movement flow. And then exhale, float down. Good. And then slowly rise back up and just come up to center. Good. And let's just shake it out a little bit. Once you come up, good. Just shake out the hands, shake out the arms, the shoulders, shake out the hips, the legs. Good. Just think of kind of letting go of anything, releasing. Good. You can do a little twist side to side. We hold a lot of tension in our hips. Some can resonate in our spine. Good. Then slow it down, and now we're just going to brush it off. So just start up with the shoulders and just kind of brush down the arms. The forearms, the hands, the chest, into the belly and the hips. Brush down the fronts of the legs, down as far to your feet as you'd like, and then back up the backs of the legs. And just think of your hands like little brooms, just brushing away a little tension, a little tightness, just releasing anything that's not serving you anymore today. You get to let it go. Slowly up the back, onto the shoulders, onto the hair, and then down gently onto the face. Just brushing as if you were gentle feathers. Good. And then release that and just bring the arms down at the sides. Just pause and notice how that movement felt to you. It may be something new or different that you have or have not tried before, but just observe, notice how your body feels in this moment. And try not to judge or critique. It's just simple awareness. Good. And then gently just bring the hands to the shoulders or one hand to the belly and one hand to the shoulder and just allow yourself to sway. Just connect with yourself in this nurturing embrace. And this is the part where you're just connecting, we're healing. And just gently ask yourself, what is it that I need today? What is it that I need in this moment? And it might be something as simple as saying, I'm here. I am calm. I am safe. I am at peace. Just gently ask and then offer yourself a phrase or a few words to help connect with you. It might be, I love you, or I'm here for you. Anything that calls to you to connect with you. Good. Feeling the feet rooted into the earth beneath you. Feel your heart open and accepting of anything you're able to offer yourself in this moment. Just reminding yourself anything that arises is okay. All of your feelings, all of your movement, it's all welcome. Good. And then just release that embrace and bring a hand to the heart and take a nice deep inhale. And as you exhale, just soften the shoulders, relax. Good. And just offer yourself a little gratitude for trying something new, for opening to this practice, and for giving yourself space to breathe, slow down and move, and to heal. Good. And then just slowly release. And then come back to a seated position if you're standing. Good. So, how did that feel for you guys?
Wow. I want to do that every day.
Good. Good.
Yeah. Oh,
So, you could
thank
like add
you.
that on to your meditation practice, for example. You could do it before or after, depending on how you enter your meditation, for example.
Yeah.
You
Yeah, it's
can do.
interesting. My back's been tight today, just from work yesterday, and I've been working on it this morning, trying to take care of it, and like it's feels really good right now. It's very interesting in how just that little bit of a movement, a little bit of practice really had a big effect on it. So
And I love like integrating that into like people's days. I just talked to someone that was struggling today to find, 5 minutes just to pause during her day to be able to calm down. Because as she's going through her work day, anxiety is rising. She goes to picks up the kids, anxiety rises. It's busy, busy, busy at nighttime. And then at nighttime, it's like, I am exhausted. So building in these little pockets of time where you can just take a few minutes and do one of those skills. We did we mixed a couple, but just doing one to give yourself that slowdown because you are worthy of that and you deserve that. So, and kids love this kind of practice. So, like, I do different things where I make it a little bit more fun, energetic, play some music. But kids love these too because they need that. They get overstimulated so easily and they need a break. And when we can teach them and empower them to listen and trust their bodies, their breath, and then to give them what they need, give themselves what they need, what a beautiful response. So, yeah, tell me more. What else did you notice?
I also, well, I actually want to say that one of the things that you said there that I caught was that this is the kind of thing we can do throughout the day. And to just take one piece of all of that that we just went through, it doesn't have to be like the whole thing. I mean, the whole thing could be great, but like we could just take those pieces throughout the day and just do one part where we're like, brushing things, or we're stretching, or we're breathing, or we're, hand over our heart, whatever that might be, so that we can piece those together throughout the day. And I think that is for some people more achievable than trying to figure out like, where do I find the time to do all of that in like craziness of the day? So
Yes.
that was one of the things I just heard you saying there that I wanted to key on to.
Yeah.
And what I was also thinking of was that we need both. Like we need the preparation and the practice, and then it actually makes the parts that we sprinkle throughout our day probably more effective, because then our it's reinforcing what we've already practiced. Like, oh yeah, this is just like the morning, or just like when I did this before. So I love having both the practice that's like outside of the moment, and then the practice for inside the moment too.
Yes. And that's the science of it. It's the neuroplasticity. So you're training your body and your brain to be able to recognize that as like calm down moment for yourself. So when you're doing it, your regular practice, and then you build in these little practices. When I get dysregulated, it's a simple hand to the heart, take a deep breath, and then repeat an affirmation or an intention, and I go right back down because I've trained my body and my breath and my brain to be able to really sense that and come back down. But it's so you're right, it's really an integration of both. And I offer a membership and I have both in there. I have 30-minute yoga therapy sessions where like we do pieces of all of this expanded. We do a nice meditation, breath work, movement, and then a nice closing. And then I have these little bite-sized somatic skills that are 2 to 5 minutes where people can just play that and then join me and do it. And so then they can. And there's breath work, some meditations on there too, because I want it to be accessible for people. Because, like I said, these are lifetime skills that I really want people to integrate as best they can. And I want to make it simple and easy to do so that as busy as we are, we can still do these practices.
Yeah. And what I'm getting from this is also how automatic it is. We talk a lot in our culture about exercise, like I weightlift. So I know exactly how to position my body when I'm going to go up to the barbell to clean or to snatch or to whatever, deadlift. So I don't have to think about every single little part of that movement. And as we get better at meditation and these different movements and mindfulness, the same thing can happen. That I don't have to think about it as hard as I am now. Like, okay, what's going to be good for this moment? It'll just happen that I'll know what to do. And my body also, and my brain will also know what to do too. In the same way as when I'm walking up to deadlift, my brain's not generally freaking out, but.
And you're in the flow, you're enjoying it, and you know if something feels a little off, and you know what to adjust. And so when we are able to really slow down and notice our bodies and then trust what's happening, that's a beautiful practice. You're right, it becomes automatic, and that's what we want. I love it when I'm working with a family and it becomes automatic for them that, oh, when this happens, this is what we do. We all take a breath. Or when this happens, we do this. Like, it just becomes very simple and automatic. And then it again, like, it creates these beautiful neural pathways in our brains that this becomes our norm. It's amazing. So yeah,
It's funny.
beautiful with the weightlifting.
It's funny. We call it practice. We throw that word around. I think a lot. You hear it a lot. Like, well, what's your practice? Oh, here's my practice. And this is my meditation practice, and my, whatever practice. And it was not too long ago I realized, like, we use the word practice because that's what we're doing, is we're practicing how to make it automatic so that we can put it into real life when we really need it. That's like it's just funny that, like, it took me a while to actually put that all together. How could people find out more about you, your practices, and how, and you mentioned you have a community, or is there anything else that you would like to make sure that we cover before we wrap up?
I created a free ebook, and it's a practice. It's a 5-day practice that combines the breathe, like a breath of some sort, a movement, and then an affirmation. And so I try to make it really simple. It takes less than 10 minutes a day. You can do it with your kids, you can do it with your whole family, you can do it alone if you like to do it alone as well, just like you, Jason, and then do it with your family. But it's easy and it's accessible. And so that'll be in the show notes, but click that and then it's free. Enjoy that. I have a membership, like I mentioned, that is an online membership and a platform. And I just create it from my heart. I create it because I want people to really have access to these beautiful practices. So I have that. I also have an Instagram that I post regularly on, and I do little practices, 1 to 2 minutes, just to help people as well and demonstrate some of what I'm teaching. So yeah. And I think the biggest message, honestly, is that even a few minutes of pause and presence, it can ripple through your whole family. And we are all worthy of that calm. And we, your children are worthy of that calm. And together, we get to create it. That's my beautiful, like, passionate message, that we get to create it. So, yeah.
Thanks, Lainey. Thanks for spending the time with us here. Thanks for the free ebook and the practice that'll be in there. We'll put that in the show notes so people can click through and get that, and then they can connect with you for about your Instagram and also about your community. And thanks for walking us through this. This is really generous of you to take that time to show us that and to talk to us about it. And it's been fun. And we look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you both.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.